Dove CNN hooked up with Washington D.C.'s own Wale. Started off, introduce yourself for those out there who might not be familiar with you yet.
Yeah, my name is Wale. I'm a guy in Interscope and Alito Records, and I'm from D.C. and trying to leave my mark on this rap game, I guess.
All right, and the first time I heard about you was through Bun B, who mentioned you as one of his favorite up and coming artists in an interview I did with him last year. How did you get connected with Bun?
Joseph Patel at MTV, you know, kind of set it up, kind of, you know, introduced me to him, gave me his email address, and, you know, sometime, like, late, was it, I'm not sure what month it was like a couple months ago, like 6 or 7 months ago, and we just been talking, like, ever since then. We talk on the phone every day.
You know, it seems like a lot of heavyweights are co-signing you, you know, early on in your career, from Jay-Z to Kanye to Lil Wayne to Mark Ronson. What's your secret?
I mean, there's really no secret. Like, you know, I'm very meticulous with my music, and I feel like a lot of people who are like that are the ones who stay around longest, and those, though, that's why, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people who take their music seriously, you know what I'm saying, can see that seriously, so that's pretty much the connection right there.
All right, tell us about your youth in D.C. Who were you listening to when you were coming up?
You know, everybody, you know, Jay-Z, obviously, Camp Lowe. Obviously every go-go band that was out at that time, Nas, Tribe Called Quest, Digital Planet, you know, it's a very, 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 very big list of people and genres as well.
All right, and how would you compare the scene in D.C. compared to places like New York, Atlanta, or L.A.?
It's not starstruck at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you won't find anybody like Gilbert Arena can walk in the mall and like nobody gets all like, oh my goodness, it's Gilbert Arena. Like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't really like that. It's just, you know, it's very somber, I guess, at times, melancholy. It's home, you know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like nobody knows how to act like towards the musicians, or like we don't have any stars, really. We don't see stars.
Alright, and your buzz has been growing exponentially since last year. Did you expect things to take off as quick as they did?
When you've been doing this for a long time, about 10 years now, 11 years. So it's like, when you've been doing it for so long, you don't really notice, like, you know, you don't really see it, it's happening quickly, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, that was actually my next question. You know, I was about to say, for a lot of people who are just starting to hear about you now, it may look like an overnight thing, but tell us about you know, your grind and how long you've been grinding locally.
I feel like anybody who's quote-unquote blowing up would look like overnight, because, you know, buddy, a lot of people adapt to things, artists, trends, and stuff so late that, you know, once they come aboard, that, you know, the movement has already moved, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I feel like what I've done is so out in the open that if you Google me or you, like, do your research, like, you see that I've done a lot of things already, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can kind of just, you know, put the kibosh on anybody thinking it's overnight success.
All right, and I believe you did a dedication to Black Thought on a mixtape, which led to you being featured on a couple of songs on the Roots album. Tell us about that connection. How was it recording with one of your favorite MCs?
You know, like I mean, that was like the point when I was like, well, now I feel like I've been anointed. Like, I feel like I'm amongst the best. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, although I'm a new artist, like, I've already been able to, you know, talk to and meet and have dinner and have shows with some of my favorite artists, you know what I'm saying? Like a Black Thought, like a Jay-Z, like a Nas. You know, I've met and chilled with these people already, so it's like, you know, I feel like I feel like anything that I do now is like, I've not necessarily maxed out, you know what I'm saying, but it's just like now I feel like I'm amongst greats, so I have to perform great at all times. Like, it's just extra motivation to perform great.
Alright, and you also hooked up with Mark Ronson, which eventually led to you getting signed to Interscope. Was Interscope a place that you would have chosen to roll with all along?
Because we already had several deals on the table, but I just feel like Alito's infrastructure was, like, top-notch, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like I wanted to be there I wanted to have a home within a home, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like without you know, Mark and Rich, like, I'd kind of be like, I feel like I would have ended eventually signed with Interscope regardless, like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it's just a lot more structure now, you know what I'm saying? Like, that label's so competitive and so, it's so powerful. It's, you know, arguably the biggest and best label, you know, out right now, you know what I'm saying, that exists. So it's like, it's so much competition, there's so much going on there. It's like, you need that infrastructure. You need guys like Mark and Rich, you know, to kind of help you along with the process of making an album.
And are you afraid that you will have to switch up your sound to follow Interscope guidelines when it comes to a major label, did you?
I feel like Jimmy Iovine and Luke Wood and all those people, they understand me so much as an artist that they don't want to change anything, because everybody's excited about my product there, and I'm excited to be there. So it's like, it's an understanding. Like, they know what I do. Like, they wouldn't have signed me if they wanted to change anything. You know what I'm saying? Because artist development is obsolete now. So nobody signs anything that they have to take time and money to change.
All right, because, you know, you hear so many different stories, like when Rakim got signed, that, you know, they were trying to make him do something that he didn't want to do and stuff like that. So, and I know you're an artist that's very, you know, passionate about your craft, so I was just wondering if that was something that you were worried about.
Nah, we good on that, man. Like, 100% good.
All right, and speaking of doing what you want, let's talk about your latest mixtape, the mixtape About Nothing. The title doesn't really fit the tape, you know, it's pretty much the opposite, if I may say.
In the beginning, I said there's an undertone to this undertone message, because it is like, you know, so, and in certain songs I kind of drop like this mixtape about nothing, but I'm really saying something, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all like an ironic thing, like, because it was an ironic show. The show was about nothing, but actually it was about a lot of things.
How has the feedback been to the mixtape so far?
It's been great, you know what I'm saying, all over the internet, you know, some real good feedback.
For those who haven't heard it yet, how would you describe the mixtape?
It's very, it's innovative. You know what I mean? Like, just the thought process and the writing, the song structure, everything in it is innovative.
Alright, and, you know, the mixtape is inspired by the TV series Seinfeld. You said you were a big fan. What did you think when the whole Kramer racist outbreak thing happened?
I'm not that sensitive, like, about to racial things, because, like, at the end of the day, like, I went to high school for 1 year with like, at a predominantly white school for a year and a half, then this college I went to was a predominantly white college, so I understand it, like, you know, and then I played sports, which is also, there's a lot of things that with race, that involve race in that as well, so. I'm not really, like, racially sensitive at all. I don't have any kind of complexes about that.
Alright, you don't really seem to be too focused on, you know, what people think or the cliches or what's hot and what's not and stuff like that. How would you describe the style or the way you carry yourself?
I feel like I'm a very humble person, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta have some type of level of confidence to survive in this hip-hop world. And I feel like I'm a pretty confident guy, like, but at the same time, I never take myself too serious, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of rappers take themselves too serious, and then it becomes, like, situations in which they have to live up to an image so hard that it's hard to maintain financially or, like, you know, like living-wise, like, they can't continue to buy a different chain every time my album comes out, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, things like that. Like, I don't have to live through that. I can just be, like, you know, normal LA.
Okay. And on the song The Perfect Plan, you have a line that goes, you say the art's dying? Nah, brother, go buy an album. Do you feel like a lot of people are being hypocritical, complaining about the state of hip-hop, but then supporting the artists they like themselves?
Definitely. I mean, you know, like, it's just like buying your favorite player's jersey. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to represent your favorite player, then, you know, then wear a jersey. You want to represent your favorite artist, don't download it and then go play it in the car. Like, look, this is hot. Like, yo, you gotta get that message back to the artist. Like, this is hot. Like, buy it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, can you tell us one thing that you like about hip hop in 2008 and one thing that you dislike?
Like it. I mean, it gives a lot of people who probably aren't built to do anything else with it. It employs a lot of people. Like, you know, from A&Rs, to publicists, to hype man, to tour caterer, whatever it is. You know, it gives, it's an opportunity for people to work. You know what I mean? That, I'm all for that. It's not really too much. I don't like about hip hop. It's maybe some of the people that kind of rape the culture, or you know, like the whole payola thing. I don't really like that too much.
Okay, is that something that you've experienced so far, the payola thing?
I mean, it's everywhere. Like, it's not everybody experiences it. It's not even, you know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right, I feel you. It's like an open secret.
Yeah, it's like everybody knows. It's like, yeah.
Okay. And you went on tour with Mark Ronson last year. What kind of experience was that?
Oh, culture shock. a lot of things. It was grueling, you know what I'm saying? And I was kind of all alone. Like, you know, I come from a different world than everybody that was on tour with me. And I was, you know, myself and Alex Greenwald from Phantom Planet was the only American that was on tour. But, you know, I'm the only rapper, period. So it was difficult for a time for me, you know what I'm saying? But it was, I mean, all in all, it served its purpose, and it was a good look.
Do you have any specific funny memories that you want to share with us?
It's all a blur now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, you know, I kind of just always look for what am I going to do.
It's all
so
good.
Yeah, the tour was good. It was just great experience, and, you know, I'm going to do a couple dates again this summer.
All right. How would you describe a typical studio session with Mark Ronson?
Meticulous, I guess, like, because Mark makes me do verses over and over and over and over, and, you know, finds which one he likes the best, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. And you also launched a website, a blog. Tell us about that.
Well, it's not necessarily mine. It's like I kind of correspond and give a little feedback on, like, things that I did today or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily, like, all my blog. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just correspond.
Okay. Let's talk about the DC hip hop scene for a little bit. How do you feel about it? Is there anybody that's coming up that we should be watching out for besides yourself?
Yeah, definitely. People like EXO, Savvy Renee, obviously, and Hit a Quitter. Like, there's a lot of people. A lot of people. Burger Boys.
And which producers are you planning to work with on your major debut?
I've already done stuff with Jeff Blaze and Pharrell. You know, Jess is a real, me and him are getting close, like, he's a real good dude, you know. Pharrell's cool, DJ Toomp, you know, and Mark, you know, I also got my people from DC, Best Kept Secret. We've done a lot of records together. There's a lot of people that I'd be looking forward to work with, but, you know, being able to get people that you want to work with is another story. Like, definitely want Premier, but, you know, it's not always easy to get to Premier.
And can we expect the album to have the whole go-go sound that, you know, we've been hearing from you?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of hip-hop has that go-go sound. That, you know what I mean? It's just that people analyze it a little bit more when it's coming from me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just like a lot of the live drums and things of that nature going on the album.
Okay. And do you have an estimated time frame when we can expect the album to come out?
January.
January?
Yeah.
All right. And ideally, what would you like to see yourself a year from now?
Oh, still in the game. In a day where music is so disposable, I just hope that mine isn't something that's in the trash can, you know what I'm saying, or in the dumpster somewhere.
All right. Well, you know, we wish you the best. Before we go, is there anything else you want to let everybody know?
Look out for the album and download the mixtape.